looking forward to concluding this series today on that you have what it takes, amen, to be born again. You have what it takes. And I put a clock up here because, you know, since I hadn't been able to be in worship service with you, the temptation to go past your ability to sit, I don't want to overcome that. I want you to come back next weekend and enjoy what the Lord would want to give you. Amen. You see, why do we need to experience God in our hearts? Why is that so important to Him? I've learned from my grandmother and, most importantly, the Holy Spirit, that the difference between revelation and information is experience. Because if I only have God in my head and I'm only informed about Him in a scriptural way or a historical way, then I see good at a place where I can never accomplish it. Amen? And I begin to understand evil at a level that I cannot overcome it. But if I allow Him to come to me and through experience, give me revelation of Him, by way of experience, He empowers me to walk in His goodness. And then He gives me what I need, amen, as confidence to overcome this present world and the evil in it. Amen. And so the idea that I am going to be able to know God at a level that I need to know Him in my head without experience is not possible. So I ask you the question today, is He in your head or is He in your heart? Now, He can be in your head and not have your heart, but He can't be in your heart and not have your head. When He becomes King of His kingdom within my spirit man, the true identity that I've been designed for, remember this, we've talked about it a few times here of late. From His throne room, in His temple, He can be King of Kings. And from me and from you, He can pour His glory into the earth. Amen. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen. You are God's instrument. You are God's vessel. You are God's, amen, conduit. You're His representative in this earth. He didn't choose any other to be His representative. He chose humanity. And for Him to show Himself strong, and He deserves to be glorified because He paid the debt off 2,000 years ago. He deserves His props. He can't receive His props, so to speak, without you and I allowing Him access into our hearts. So think for a moment today. Is He in your head or is He in your heart? Paul challenges us in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Amen. Let me read this to you. It says it this way. Examine yourself and see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? This is the most important question that you could ever ask yourself. Have I been born again? Amen. It's one thing to be born of my mother, amen, in the earth. It's another thing to be born again. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about God having His liberty to be the king that He is through us. A young, influential religious ruler of the Jews by the name of Nicodemus seeks Jesus out. And I'm going to read it to you here, John 3:2. He says, this man came to Jesus by night and says to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and notice that it says, and you hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Jesus drives this point home in the next few verses to Nicodemus. And he says to him, here you are a master of the Jews and you don't know this? Kind of giving him a special rebuke there. These things should be known by you and I as believers. If we've studied him out, if we've, amen, mentally done some homework and we've historically evaluated him, amen, as God in flesh, we should know this is basically what he's saying. And so let me challenge you right now. If peace, joy, and heaven is important to you, then answering this question today, have I been born again, will be the most important question you can answer. Because it's the starting line. It's where you begin the wonderful race, amen, so that you can cross the finish line. Anybody want to cross the finish line? This race is not a race, amen, to the swift or the strong, but to you and I, amen, that make a decision that we're going to walk with him. We're going to talk with him. We're going to push back darkness. We're going to push back ideas and philosophies and all kinds of news going on. And we're going to tune our ear in to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. It's not to the swift. It's not to, but to the one that can endure. Endure what? All the lies of the enemy. He keeps screaming stuff. We keep hearing stuff, but the Lord's saying something else. And when you pay attention to what he's saying, peace comes with that. Joy comes with that. Hope comes out of your spirit to everyone around you. Amen? When you're born again, you step into your true identity and you have dominion and authority and over all the powers of the enemy. You're a winner. So I want to give you three very important things that Jesus wants you to know about. He wants you to know by revelation. Number one, you must be born again. Now, it's one thing to say, I need to be born again. But you've read that and you've concluded, I need to be born. But when you get a revelation that you need to be born again, it's what happens, you get born again. When there is a rendezvous between you and your maker and you come to the agreement that he says it's time now for you to be born again, guess what? The water's going to break. And there's going to be a sound from heaven. And you're going to know that the new birth is because you hear the baby crying, amen, and the pure language is flowing out of that baby. Amen. And all of heaven is rejoicing. It's tempting to disregard the Pharisees because Jesus was continually putting them in their place. But Nicodemus, he had a love for God. He believed in God. He believed in the resurrection. Amen. He also was faithful in his gathering together. Amen. He didn't forsake the assembling of himself together. He was faithful in returning God's tithe. He was faithful to prayer. Matter of fact, as a Pharisee, he's required to memorize the first five books of the Bible, to fast two times a week. Matter of fact, Nicodemus said to Jesus, I believe you come from God. He believed in Jesus. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, probably one who is more faithful than most of our Christian world when it comes to believing in God, believing in Jesus. He tells him, you must be born again. I mean, when you begin to evaluate everything that Nicodemus is doing, Amen. It becomes very convicting to realize that, wow, this guy was in tune with God. This guy had a love for God. This guy was committed to God. You couldn't question his devotion to pursue God. And here Jesus is reminding him, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you cannot be with me. So, I want to summarize what Jesus is saying here. Nicodemus, you are faithful in most of the scriptures. You are doing life well. You're influential. You've impacted the people around you in a positive way. But unless you are born again, you can't have any part of what I'm doing. So could it be that there are people that are mentally believing in Jesus Christ that have yet to be born again? Nicodemus was one of those people. Is it possible that there are people today that are in that category? So I say again, is Jesus in your head or is he in your heart? Question we need to answer. Second thing that Jesus wants you to know, and he wants you to know it by revelation, not just by intuition from the realm of knowledge. He wants to give you revelation on this. Many people have not been born again. And underline that word many. Many people have not been born again. This message is perfect for where we are coming back together. Our city needs to hear this message of hope. They need to know that more than just going to church, you can actually be the church. Our world needs to know, amen, it's not about me reciting scripture, amen, and reciting the word of God, but it's about me becoming, amen, the very essence of God's plan, the very word of God myself. Amen. Let me encourage you. And the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us so that you and I who are flesh could become the word of God. And we are changed into his image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. I hope this tracks with somebody here today. The baptism of God's Spirit is not a suggestion. It is so key for you to be transformed into your true identity, and your identity is Christ. Is this okay? So many people have not been born again. In Matthew 7 and 13, Jesus is teaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, and he says it this way, "Enter by the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, I want to pause for effect here for you, and I'm going to take advantage of my time, though, son. It's important for you to know that in finding Jesus, you can't, but he can find you. Only few be there that find it. When he finds you and your heart is conditioned to receive him, and you receive him, he empowers you in such a way that what seems to be difficult becomes light and easy. If in your walk with Jesus, you're still talking about how hard it is, you might want to consider, is he in your head or in your heart? If the idea of living for Jesus is difficult for you, you might want to question the fact whether or not you have been born again. Because his yoke is light and it is easy. It impacts not only you, but the relationships around you. God knew what he was doing when he put you together. Wonderfully and fearfully you were made so that he could move into this place that he put together just right, his temple, and he could receive his glory. The Lord wants you to know, amen, that if your life is like a soap opera, that's not the kingdom of God. But I believe in Jesus. Well, then ask yourself, is he in your head or is he in your heart? I feel in my spirit an emphatic amen on that. Amen. According to Jesus, you can't ask yourself a more important question. Have I been born again? Amen. And so, does everybody agree that Jesus is kind, he's courteous, he's compassionate, he's just good? Everybody agree with that? Well, Jesus goes on and he makes a clear point in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, underline many, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or self-will. The many he's referring to here is actively engaged in going to church, prophesying, casting out demons, and doing wonderful things in the name of Jesus. If Jesus is saying that there are many who are actively involved in his purpose, but they are not saved, how many more just attend church who are not saved? Or how many more show up on Christmas or Easter who are not saved? Why do so many people think that they're saved when Jesus says they're not saved? Let me ask you a question. Why does Jesus need to share this information? Why is it important for him to talk about this at the outset of his ministry? He wants to get this message across to the multitude because he's planting some seed. And he is the sower that's sowing the seed. And he wants them to know, I've got a better way, but I've got to plant the seed. And some seed falls on wayside ground, thorny ground, stony ground, and then some seed falls on good ground. Is this right? And for that seed to be effective and produce what it's able to produce, which is Christ in us, it has to die and then it has to germinate. And the process of something new and powerful is happening. Everybody agree? Jesus needs to get this information. And the reason he wants to get this information out is because there's such confusion over the born-again experience. And the enemy likes playing us and holding us captive in our idea of what it looks like to be the church. And so the process of being born again is important to consider. Jesus tells Nicodemus, salvation is like birth. And Jesus tells him, our first birth is of the earth, but our second birth is from above. The most important birth that can happen is our second birth because that's where we begin to live again. Amen. The first birth, we're born in trespasses and sins. We're dead still. We're dead in them. But the only way we can come alive is when God's spirit and our spirit meets. And the birthing process is so important for all of us. So, has a baby ever been conceived and then immediately was born? Did that ever happen? A very important period of growth between conception and being born called pregnancy. the first organ that develops in the body is the heart. Not the eyes, not the brain. It's the heart. It's the one thing that he's most interested in. And so is Jesus in your head or is he in your heart? During pregnancy, it gets very uncomfortable. Well, Pastor, you hadn't been pregnant, but I was real close to the one that was. And there was times during the birthing process she probably didn't want to see me right then. Our humanity doesn't care for discomfort, does it? Several have told their story about passing by on this property and seeing the sign. I mean several. And how that sign ministered to them in different ways. Some have said it was an invitation for new life. And they couldn't, every time they passed it, just like, man, I got to go there. Another time it was like, would you give me a try? Just give me a chance. And to others, amen, it was a signal of, you know, I hadn't been there before. I just feel the need. I need to go slide in and check it out. But nonetheless, there have been several people talk about what the sign, New Life Fellowship, has done to them and how it's ministered to them. And what's interesting about that is that a seed was planted when they went by the sign. And that sign, God was speaking through it and saying, look, give me a test, give me a try, give me a chance, give me an opportunity. Come and gather with the mother. Amen. Get committed to the fact that this seed that I planted in you, I want there to be a pregnancy term happen here. I want you to give me some time to get you ready for your greatest event, your greatest day, you stepping into your true identity. And there have been some that have come, and it may have took, you know, only weeks. It may have took months. It may have took a few years. Nonetheless, the pregnancy term took its time. And the breaking of the water happened when it was time for it to break. And the new birth happened. And a life was changed when that took place. The Lord takes pleasure in being able to plant his seed. He does it through intimacy. Amen. It's not something you can get from your head. It has to happen in the heart. There has to be a connection of your spirit and his spirit so his word, that seed, can be planted. And give it time. You see, you know, in our world, abortion happens, miscarriages happen. There's other things that happen, and the child is not able to be born. And so it is in the spiritual sense. If the seed is not planted in the right soil, it may not make it, because thorns and thistles will choke the life out of it. Or stones, offenses will kill it. Or religious hard dirt won't let it get in the ground, and the birds of the air, evil influences, will come take that seed and take it away. But the Lord knows if he can find some good ground. And we don't give up on stony ground, we don't give up on thorny ground, and we don't give up on religious wayside hard ground. We understand that you have to take some time and till the ground. Work it. Clear the stones out. Pull the weeds and the thistles out. and work on the ground until the ground is good and it can receive the seed of God's word. And we do that through the grace of God. We do it through the love of God. We do it because of an experience that happened in all of us, amen, because we have the love of God poured out to us and we can give it away. It changes the dynamics and the climate so that the ground is ready and it's right. That's very important for you to know. God called you out of darkness into marvelous light. He's got some things he wants you to take care of. It's time to get the ground ready. Don't look at the ground and say, there's no hope. Amen. God can't work with that. No, God's got you in their life because you can make a difference and you can take the offense out and you can take the thorns out. You can take those things that choke the life out of people and bring life to them. God's asking us to position ourselves now so that this term of pregnancy can be full term and the new birth can take place. Amen. And so I know lots of people who have had the seed of God's word conceived in them, and they were miserably going through challenges in the process. Amen. And there are some of you right now that's uncomfortable in the process, and you know you're close to a miracle happening in your life, and God's timing is all on you. He is caring for you. He's covered you. You're on your way to the next level. He don't quit. When he starts something, he knows how to finish it. He's a good God. Amen. But remember this, it's the baby and the mother that work together in the birthing process. Both of them have a duty. They work together. And so Jesus answers the question, thirdly, and I close with this, on how can I know I've been born again? You might forget the specific date that you got married one time, but you won't forget the event, because something radically changed in your life when you said, I do. Now someone is moving in with you, and now someone is living with you. It was a radical change that took place. The way that you can know you've been born again is a radical change takes place. Amen. Remember this. It's when you're radically changed that you can know that you've been born again. Don't forget that. If there's not no radical changes taking place in your life from one day to the next, from week to the month, and one month to the next, find that place and draw a circle around you and say, Lord, I ain't leaving it until you change me. I can't change me. I need you to change me. I need you to take my attitude and take it out and give me a good attitude. Refocus me. Help me to see what you see that I'm missing. I want to be focused on your mission, Lord. And I can't as long as I get satisfied at where I'm at in my religious mind. Amen. Can you imagine asking me, well, Pastor Dwayne, are you married, or when did you get married? And I respond, well, I think I'm married. I'm not sure, though. I don't know when it happened or if it ever did happen, but I'm of the opinion I might be. Is there something wrong with that? Many are confused about their salvation because they think that the responsibility of change is on them. This is important for you today to get this. Got a drumstick I want to use. I can remember that as I was growing up, my mom and dad, they would encourage me to do what was right. And that encouragement come in different forms. I knew I should do right, but I was born of the flesh. And mom and dad knew that, some of their traits were in me, so they worked extra hard to make sure I moved in certain directions because they knew themselves. And I wanted, because my initiative was to go this way with it. And I wanted to go this way. And so my spiritual polarity was down. It was of the earth. But I remember in 1974 that Jesus met me. And an experience happened in me. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I was born again. The way I knew it is my spiritual polarity went this way. And when the nature, my Adamic nature, wanted to do something wrong, I was empowered to resist it and do what was right. And it was wow factor. Matter of fact, when I was born again, I loved everybody the same. I didn't love anybody less than the next person. Everybody got the same love when I was born again. About 3 weeks later, I had different love levels. And I'm just a young man. I'm learning that, oh, this is not a one-time thing. You go back to where the water pours out in the spirit and you get under it. And you learn to get under it every day. Because if you don't, the older you get, the more you need God to show up, because now the responsibility, because you're growing up in the Lord, you're maturing in the Lord, the responsibility of me staying in the Spirit becomes paramount. That's why this born-again experience is not a suggestion, it's a mandate. And so I begin to recognize that I was born again because my spiritual polarity went the other way. Does that mean I didn't make mistakes, that I goofed up, that I dropped the ball, that I do stupid? Did I offend people around me? Absolutely. But it was the mercy of God at work in my life, making me understand, or rather giving me the opportunity to experience understanding so that I would defer to Him every day. This is the day the Lord. All over Scripture, it points to this experience, the promise of Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't enough that Jesus was alive. Did y'all know that? It wasn't enough that they'd taken him off the cross, they buried him, he resurrected, he's alive, he's with them. That wasn't enough. He says, oh no, you're going to need something that's going to help you sustain. So I need you, but I see you, Lord. I know you're alive. Let me go tell everybody. No, you can't be a witness to me. You might be a witness to them, and they might believe that you might have some significance in the fact that you've seen me, you touched me. I'm not in the grave no more, but you won't be a witness to me. That's the whole point of this. He wants us to be empowered so that we'll be a witness to him. And in being a witness to him that we belong to him, everybody else gets blessed. That's the way it's talking about it in that passage. And so he tells them, I want you to tarry here until you be endowed with power from on high. Did you know something? When Devin, Dathan, Dion were born, there was a unique thing that happened that clarified they were alive and born. I heard that undefiled language, that cry. They're alive. They've been born. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, this is how you can know you've been born again. The wind blows where it wills. That's the breath of God. And when the breath of God comes in, you hear the sound thereof. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the place. Not the wind you think of, but the Spirit of God came in. And he breathed into them. All 120 began to cry out in another language. And this was them being a witness to Jesus. That's my babies. That's why I did what I did. This thing started now. It's going to happen this way to all flesh. Because the multitude that he had planted the seed in Matthew 7, then he threw the seed into them. There's a multitude there. And they've been going through the pregnancy. And it's uncomfortable. And they, in the process, they crucified him. Amen. They screamed out, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." And they're saying, "What is this language we're hearing?" And Peter says, "I'll tell you what it is. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." It's the wind that Jesus talked about, that you would hear a sound. Amen. And then you would know that you're born again. Their hearts were pricked. I mean, what's happening now? The water is breaking. And they're saying, "What must we do?" That same day, that experience happened to 3,000. It moves to Samaria. It goes to Cornelius' house, the Gentiles. It happens identically the same way. And as Peter preached the word, he's throwing the seed out there. Their hearts had already been conditioned. The ground had already been tilled. Amen. The soil was right. It was good soil. Amen. The seed was planted in it. And now a new birth was about to take place. Right where you're sitting, the scripture tells us that as they were sitting, the Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in heavenly languages as the Spirit gave the utterance. You know when the Lord knows he's got you? It's when he has the most unruly member of your body. And you're okay with talking in his language instead of your preferred language. I've got a preference. I want to talk in English. But the Lord has a preference. Is he in your head or is he in your heart? And if you still need time to figure it out, he'll let you do that until you get sick and tired of missing out on the blessing. And you decide, "Okay, Lord, come to your house. I'm open. I've tried to be wise long enough. I've tried to be smart long enough. And it hadn't got me anything but pain. I feel like I know something, but I sense I really don't. I can write a lot of stuff down that makes me look like I'm smart, but Lord, I need to know you. And the only way I can know you from what I'm picking up is got to be intimate." And so for the next little bit right now, right where you're sitting, I like us coming back on this message. And as they were sitting, the Spirit fell on them. Could the worship team come up here if they're available? I don't know. I'm getting this unction right now. Some of you, the water's broke. And there's spiritual dilation taking place. And heaven's what do they call those nurses? Midwives. Are coming. Because it's time. It's time. You have what it takes to be born again, because no other creature in all of creation can do it. Only you. Nothing else God has put together that's good. Only you he chose for this. He went to the cross and paid our debt off and died our death so that we could have life again. And this is how we get our life back. is being born again. Can you, for him, forget about the other people in the room for a little bit and just draw that little circle around where you are and say, Lord, here I am. Really don't matter what anybody thinks. I need you to come. And I need you to do what you want to do more than anything. And he's a good daddy. He wants to hear his baby. He wants to know his babies are alive. And right now he's saying, be filled. And the way to be filled is receive it. I know y'all are all tracking right now. If you're online in your living room, driving down the road, pull over on the side right now. Get off the road. It's okay if the police come up behind you. They'll let you alone because they don't know what to do, what's going on in the car. It's time to be filled with the Spirit.